John chapter 11, verses 1 to 45. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus. Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them. After saying this, he told them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will be all right. Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. When she had said this, she went back and called her sister, Mary, and told her privately, the teacher is here and he is calling for you. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come to the village, but he was still in the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept the man from dying? Then Jesus again, greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, already there's a stench because he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upwards and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe you sent me. When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. This is the gospel of Christ. May we learn from it today.
Thank you very much, Sue. And now Simon is going to come and enlighten us.
Sue was right. We needed to be comfortable to hear that reading. It was a long reading, and so much so that Helen and I discussed during the week whether we should shorten the reading. But there's no easy way to abridge it, because it would lose much of its meaning. And in any case, I think there is merit in hearing Scripture being read to us, because it's a different experience than reading it to ourselves. Especially when it's as well read as Sue just did. Well done, Sue, thank you. By way of introduction to this talk, I was going to ask if you know what the origin of the meaning saved by the bell is. For me, I think of a boxing match where one of the boxers is close to being defeated on his last legs, and the referee rings the bell to the end of the bout. But the origin of the saying is rather different. In medieval times, a person who died was put in a coffin along with a bell. And if they recovered from being thought to be dead, they would ring the bell and could be released. And there were coffins actually made specifically for that. The idea of people coming back to life is more common than we think. In fact, Lazarus is not the only biblical expression of somebody experiencing resuscitation. In the Old Testament, we read the story of Elijah, who was sent to a widow at Zarephath, and during the course of his stay, the son of the widow died. The widow was rather cross about this and felt that she'd looked after Elijah in a time of famine, and now her son has died, and that's the sort of reward she got. But Elijah lay upon the boy 3 times, and in what is probably one of the earliest occasions of mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, the boy revived. And we're encouraged to learn the practice of CPR. And in my time as a fireman, I was taught how to use CPR. And the interesting thing was that we were told that once you start it, you mustn't stop until a qualified medical person certifies that the person is dead. We were never allowed to say that we'd found a dead body. It was always apparently dead. Later this week, we're going to have a defibrillator fixed to the wall by the entrance to the hall. And we hope we don't have to use it, but it is an occasion where somebody who is apparently dead is brought back to life. And the story of Lazarus is sometimes objected to as being an occasion where a person was mistakenly thought to be dead. But as we heard in the reading, Jesus very clearly tells the disciples that Lazarus was in fact dead. And you'll be pleased to know that I'm not going to attempt to preach on all the richness of this story, but rather try to link the story to what others have preached in previous weeks and months. Because I have this bee in my bonnet, I've said before, that I believe that God doesn't do one thing to us this Sunday and say something different next Sunday. He works amongst us over a period of time, and our responsibility is to discern what God is saying to us at any given time. And the first point I would like to make is the incident of Jesus waiting 4 days before going to Lazarus' tomb. A couple of reasons have been put forward to explain this. One is that Jesus was concerned with the safety of the disciples, as there had been threats to stone him. A second explanation is that Jesus waited for 4 days to demonstrate that Lazarus really was dead. But Jesus says that the events that follow are to bring glory to God. And a few weeks ago, Chris Morley preached saying that often we don't see God responding to our prayers and we are unaware as to our way forward in faith. But he made the point that our time of waiting is actually our work, that our work is simply to wait on God. A couple of years ago, Des introduced us to the idea of a liminal period, when there's a transition from one way of doing things to a different way. And we are waiting through such a period now, with Des and Liz having left and the prospect of James coming to work with us. And while we have not contrived or tried to manipulate events, while waiting, we have seen God do something that we would not have considered ourselves. But we do need the gift of discernment to recognize God's hand. More recently, Nico spoke of the reality of two worlds, if you like, a spiritual world and a temporal world. He told us how films like Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter reminded him that there is a spiritual world and a temporal world, and that when we put our trust in Jesus, we no longer follow the world's way of doing things, but we can work in cooperation with God to bring about his kingdom. Paul describes this in the reading that we had from Romans. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds on what the sin nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. And again in Ephesians, Paul writes, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world." And finally, in the Corinthians letter, Paul says, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come." And finally, in the last couple of weeks, David Senior and Ken Hobbs have both encouraged us to realize that by the work of the Holy Spirit, we could know Jesus as opposed to simply knowing about him. The story of Lazarus can be seen as a metaphor. We are spiritually dead. That is, we are cut off from the life of God. But as we respond to Jesus' call to us to come out of whatever entombs us, we are able to live a spirit-filled life. So for us, the time is to wait upon God, to recognize the reality of the spiritual world, and to answer Jesus' call in our lives. Amen.